from Acts chapter 15, we says that Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul took Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. If you remember, when Paul first introduced this idea of returning to the churches that he and Barnabas had visited during the first missionary journey, the original proposal was, let us go back to all those churches that we established and strengthened in our first travels and revisit those brothers. But we mentioned last week that there was a division, there was a dispute, a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. And so they decided to form two separate missionary teams. And this again was a way of God continuing to grow the ministry. And even though there was this disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, that wasn't going to stop the work. In fact, God allowed it to increase the work and to double the efforts. We see here that they did divide the work. Barnabas took John Mark and he traveled to the south, down to Cyprus. Remember, churches and people were ministered to and established in or on the island of Cyprus. And so Barnabas will return there and he'll take John Mark with him. We recall earlier that Barnabas originally was from this island, as was John Mark. And so they were returning there. That was a good place for them to go. Paul took Silas and they traveled more to the north and heading toward Galatia, that region that was also part of that first missionary journey. We mentioned last week that this may have an indication that even before they headed off in this trip, that they had some kind of agreement or reconciliation or coming together, even though they could not see eye to eye on the issue of whether John Mark should come. They did have a common vision of revisiting the churches. So they agreed to disagree. They sat down and they said, well, let's do this. Barnabas, you take John Mark and you head to these churches. I will take Silas and I'll head to these other churches. And that does speak to a sense in which they came together and had this agreement. As we mentioned, we're going to begin today by focusing in on this mentoring relationship. When we read the verses a few moments ago for Acts chapter 16, we did talk about Timothy. And we'll have more to say about Timothy in a few minutes. But before we look at those verses, I want to take a moment to consider these two mentoring relationships. We're going to be done with John Mark as the record kind of follows Paul and Silas. So, mentoring for ministry. As we're going to see, as we kind of examine the scripture and examine the story, we had two teams that were formed. Barnabas became the team leader with John Mark going along as his assistant, if you will. That's the role that John Mark played in the first missionary journey. And we will also see Paul take Silas along with him. And in time, he will allow Timothy to join that team as well. And what I want to explore or think about today is how different people will flourish and grow under different leadership styles. John Mark seemed to flourish under the leadership of Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was his cousin. That may have been part of it. But I also think that Barnabas and Paul were very, very different in their leadership style and in their dealing with that mentoring relationship. And the impression we get is that John Mark seemed to do so very well, to flourish under the leadership of Barnabas. And he did not flourish as much under the leadership of Paul. In fact, let's go back to the first missionary journey. If you recall, when we talked about the first missionary journey, At the very beginning of that journey, Barnabas and Paul were mentioned as a leadership team. So it seemed as though Barnabas, at the very beginning, took the lead. And that's when John Mark was part of that team. And John Mark seemed to flourish under the leadership of Barnabas. But then about a third of the way through that missionary journey, we noted in the text when we looked at that, that the language changed. It became Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and his compassion or companions. So the idea that we mentioned before is that Paul kind of emerged as the leader. And this is about the very same time that John Mark left. Maybe he left because he recognized that the change in leadership wasn't really something that was working for him in his own personality, in his personality, and in the personality of the leader. You ever had a boss who you just struggle with because the boss's leadership style or the boss's way of interacting with the worker, the help, is different? I've known situations where some employees flourish well under a particular style of management or someone's leadership style, other people don't. So here's a case where it seems from the story that John Mark seemed to flourish well under the leadership style of Barnabas. Remember, Barnabas was a person who was very encouraging. We've talked a lot about Barnabas before. That name Barnabas actually means son of encouragement. Sometimes people need a lot of encouragement, and that's the kind of person that Barnabas seemed to be. And John Mark seemed to flourish under that kind of leadership. Now, I know we haven't gotten into the verses quite yet about Timothy. We read those verses at the beginning. But what we will notice as the story of Timothy develops, Timothy is someone who seemed to really flourish under the leadership and mentoring style of the Apostle Paul. You know, God makes all of us so very different. Our personalities are different. Our perspectives are different. Sometimes the way we interact with others are different. Some bosses are able to inspire some of the workers in some ways and not others. And some of the help, if you will, does more or does better under certain leadership styles. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. Timothy will indeed become a very important leader for the church under Paul's wing. That's a kind of mentoring style he needed, that kind of leadership. If you look at the book of Acts and also the letters of the Apostle Paul, we see a long-term relationship between Paul and Timothy. This morning, we'll look at the verses where Timothy joins the team. And here's an interesting fact. Timothy was with Paul throughout, and Timothy was one of the individuals who was with Paul at the very end. Timothy needed Paul. Timothy flourished under the Apostle Paul. John Mark, he was different. He had different personality, different perspective. He needed a Barnabas. He needed an encourager. He needed someone who had that ability to inspire him, give him a second chance, and help him to flourish in a unique way. I hope that this introduction is causing you to think a bit. Who would we flourish under? Or would we be someone who would flourish well under a Barnabas? Or would we be someone who flourished well under an Apostle Paul? Two different styles of mentoring, two different styles of leadership. Which type is better? Well, I don't think that's the final question we need to ask. It's not a matter of what style is better. Rather, it's a question of God can use all of us. There were some people that were very, very encouraging, very gracious, like Barnabas. And there are individuals that are able to flourish under that style. Other leaders are a little more exacting, a little more demanding, like the Apostle Paul. And not everyone flourishes under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, but Timothy does. So where do you flourish under? What type of leader would you be? What kind of follower? What kind of leader? Now, later on, we will discover that John Mark is restored in his relationship with Paul. You know, Paul may not have been the best mentor for John Mark, but Paul comes in time to really appreciate John Mark and actually to depend upon him, especially at the end of his life. So even though Paul may not have been a good mentor to John Mark, he benefits from the work of Barnabas in the life of John Mark. Again, we're all different. We all flourish in different settings. We all flourish under different leadership styles. A couple of passages to just kind of show that healed relationship between Paul and John Mark in the prison epistles. This is from Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. This Paul wrote this letter in the 60s, in the first AD. This is when he was in prison at the end of all his travels in the book of Acts. So Paul writes there, writing to the churches, "My fellow prisoner Archippus sends you greetings, as does Mark, cousin of Barnabas. You have received instruction from him. If he comes to you, welcome him." So, yes, at the very beginning of the second missionary journey, Paul did not appreciate the contributions that John Mark had to make. Remember, John Mark left in the middle of the first missionary journey. But by the end of his missionary travels, Paul recognizes in John Mark someone who was a partner with him, a great benefit for him. And in the very last letter that Paul writes, this is actually his last imprisonment before his death. In fact, he is in prison waiting to die. And he sends out the letter of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 11. And listen to his words here. He says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." So Paul values the contribution that John Mark had to make. He may not have appreciated that or seen all of the potential in John Mark there at the beginning on that second missionary journey, but in time, at the end of his life, who's with him? Timothy's with him, Luke is with him, and John Mark is with him. Let's also go back to an earlier theme that we talked about. We talked about this last week, but it also bears repeating right now. An earlier theme that we talked about is the fact that God can use our failures to bring about his purposes. And again, this is seen in the life of Paul, of Barnabas, of John Mark, and as we'll see today, in the life of Timothy. Last week, we talked about the sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. How could two pastors of the Church of Antioch disagree so strongly? How can God use pastors who cannot get along? Well, they had this sharp disagreement, but they were able in time to reconcile with one another, to heal their relationship. And God was able to use Paul in mighty ways. God was able to use Barnabas in other ways. Barnabas was used to mentor John Mark. Remember, in time, John Mark would become a benefit to Paul. Also in time, John Mark would be a partner for the Apostle Peter and the writer of one of our Gospels, the Gospel of Mark. Barnabas the son of encouragement. We don't hear much about Barnabas further in the book of Acts, but we know that Barnabas goes on. He becomes the mentor of John Mark, bringing about all that John Mark would accomplish. John Mark himself. John Mark had a major failure at the beginning or the middle of the first missionary journey. He basically quit and went home. But God could use John Mark even still. Later, he becomes a helper of Paul. Later, he becomes the writer of one of our Gospels. What about Timothy? Well, there's no specific failure on record, in the biblical record for Timothy, but he was a flawed human being like all of us. And God can use us despite our failures. Only God can take our failures and turn them into victories. So let's think about our own lives. What weaknesses, what failures have we rendered unto God? And how has God used those weaknesses and those failures to enable us to bring glory to his name? Have we allowed ourselves to be sidelined completely when we fail or fall short? I hope not. But we allow God to heal us, to restore us, to forgive us, and to bring us back into service to him. Again, taking our failures and turning them into victories. Thinking back to the dispute that Paul had with Barnabas. Have we had disputes? Have we had disagreements? And have we allowed that to challenge our effectiveness in ministry? Again, when those times come, when there are disagreements, when there are disputes, even sharp disagreements, as we noted last time, we need to allow God to bring about healing, bring about reconciliation in our lives so that we can be used by God. Think back to Paul and Barnabas. They had this sharp disagreement. What if they had continued in that disagreement? They had continued that separation. What would have been the impact on the ministry of both? God is not able to use us to our greatest effectiveness when we remain divided, when we remain in discord with one another. When we have disputes and we have disagreements, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of that, convict us where we were wrong, and bring us into forgiveness and restoration. We noted that Paul and Barnabas may have done this soon after their dispute because they were able to sit down and map out their travels, and not to overlap, but rather to divide up, form two new missionary teams, and head in different directions. We also know from the letters of the Apostle Paul that later on, Paul and Barnabas seem to be very much on the same team again. We have passages like 1 Corinthians 9:6 or Colossians 4:10, which hint at the fact that Paul and Barnabas were restored in their relationship, and they didn't allow their sharp disagreement to become a permanent barrier in their relationship and a permanent hindrance in their effectiveness for God. Again, when we have disputes, when we have disagreements, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us about where we may have been wrong and to bring us to forgiveness and restoration. There's a fun little story about Charles Spurgeon, a young minister who had just come to London to take up his post in his new church. Charles Spurgeon would become one of the great pastors in the city of London. But when he first came to London as a new pastor, there was a man who approached him who wanted to criticize the previous pastor of the church where Charles Spurgeon was taking up his ministry. After hearing all of the complaints that this man had, Spurgeon asked this bitter man, Didn't all of this happen a good long time ago? The man became very indignant with Spurgeon and replied to him and said, "Sir, time does not change facts." Spurgeon, even as a young man, was wise enough in his response. He said to this bitter man, "You are right that time does not change facts. But when a man is walking in the grace of Jesus Christ, he changes over time. Why haven't you become more forgiving in the time that has gone by?" Again, when we are allowing the grace of God to do its work in our lives, we too, over time, will become more gracious and forgiving. So again, Paul and Timothy, a great missionary team, Barnabas and John Mark, another great missionary team. Let's now go on to the second missionary journey and talk a little bit about this new partner that Paul has with him in the person of Silas. Remember, first missionary journey, it was Paul and Barnabas. Now, the second missionary journey, it's Paul and Silas. We'll see a lot more about Silas as we move on in this second missionary journey, recorded in verse 16 and beyond. But what have we seen so far about Silas? If you remember, Silas was first introduced in chapter 15, verse 22. He was one of those representatives from the church of Jerusalem who accompanied Paul and Barnabas as they went back to Antioch after the Jerusalem Council to report the news of the Jerusalem Council to the Gentile believers there in the city of Antioch. And so Paul is now taking the same individual with him on his second missionary journey. This was a wise choice because Paul is heading through Cilicia and into Galatia, and he will be encountering and sharing the decision of the church with all those churches. And just as it was valuable to have a representative from Jerusalem to return to Antioch, it will be quite valuable as Paul travels through Cilicia and into Galatia to have as well a representative from the Jerusalem church. Just imagine as Paul goes there and begins to share the news of this church decision, especially in the light of the Judaizers who had been there after Paul left that area and had challenged the message of Paul. He was able to say, "Here is Silas, a representative of the Jerusalem church sent by James and the other apostles. He will verify the decision here." We also saw in Acts chapter 15 that Silas was counted as a prophet. Let me read for you again, Acts chapter 15, verses 32 and 33. Judas and Silas, remember Judas, also called Barsabbas, and Silas were the two representatives of the Jerusalem church that came with Paul back to Antioch. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. After spending some time there in Antioch, that is, they were sent off by the brothers with the blessing of peace to return. They were returning to Jerusalem to return to those who had sent them. So Silas was a teacher as well. He spent much time, Luke tells us, teaching the believers there in the city of Antioch. And as we will see, he will spend a great deal of time helping the Apostle Paul to teach and encourage and disciple the believers in Galatia, throughout Asia Minor and beyond, as Silas goes with Paul as one of the missionary team. summarizing the contribution of Silas. Remember, he was a Hellenistic Jew. That means he was a Jewish individual with a Greek background, a Hellenistic Jew. He was a representative of the Jerusalem Council. He carried with him the authority of James and the other apostles. And here's another interesting fact that will be very important on these missionary travels. He was a Roman citizen. When we get to the story of the city of Philippi later on in the second missionary journey, we'll see how Paul's Roman citizenship and Silas's Roman citizenship will be very beneficial as missionaries throughout Galatia, Asia Minor, and even into Macedonia, which is where Philippi was. Also notice before we move on how verse 40 ends. It says these missionary teams were commended by the brothers to the grace of God. It's a very important detail we want to look at before we move on in our story. It is always good to go out under the direction and guidance and support of the church. I think of the International Mission Board. I think of the Home Mission Board. You know, think about this. These organizations, the International Mission Board and the Home Mission Board, are really agencies of the church. So when missionaries go out under the sponsorship of the International Mission Board, they're going out under the leadership of the church. And that's true for the Home Mission Board. Churches back home are praying for them, lifting them up in their giving and in their support. Some people try to go independent, try to kind of head off in their own direction, start their own ministries, be their own missionaries. And there's always dangers in that, both for the individual and for the purity of the gospel and mission. Think back, you and Paul and Barnabas set out for their first missionary journey. What did we see the church doing? It said that the church commissioned them. The church prayed for them. The church laid hands upon them. Paul and Barnabas were not independent missionaries. They were missionaries sent out by the church, commended by the brothers. And now here on the second missionary journey, Paul and Silas are commended by the church. We can assume that they likewise laid hands on them and prayed for them. In fact, we'll see some of those details later on when it comes to Timothy. They're not cited here in this passage, but we can assume a similar process. In a moment, when we get to the story of Timothy and Timothy's joining the missionary team, we will see that indeed the church does lay hands upon Timothy. They pray for him as he joins this missionary team. But before we get to those verses, let's go back now to the story of Paul and Silas and them setting out on their travels. Remember, they left from Antioch of Syria. This map here, you'll see Syria on the right-hand side and Antioch there. It says now in verse 40, he went through Syria and Cilicia. Now on this map, you don't see the word Cilicia, but you see the name of the town Tarsus. Tarsus was in Cilicia. It's that little region between Syria and Galatia. Tarsus was the hometown of the Apostle Paul. I am sure that Paul stopped by his hometown as he preached the gospel in Cilicia. Again, verse 41, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. What is Paul doing? Well, it tells us in the verses he is strengthening the churches. We mentioned last week that Paul was very much an evangelist, going to new people groups, sharing the gospel with people who had never heard about Jesus. But Paul was also a discipler. He was one who recognized that the work is not done when you simply believe in Jesus. The work is done when you grow in your faith and become mature in the faith. And so Paul will spend many of his letters and a lot of his travels both evangelizing people, sharing the gospel with new people, and also discipling those. In fact, think of Galatia here. We've already seen Paul go through Galatia. Here at the beginning of the second missionary journey, Paul heads straight to Galatia to visit with the brothers who had been ministered to before. And we will see later when Paul starts his third missionary journey, the first place he goes, Galatia. Paul is always about going back and strengthening the believers. We notice here that there's visiting the church of Derbe and then Lystra. These are the same churches that Paul had visited there when he, on that first missionary journey. In fact, Lystra was the place that he had been stoned and left for dead at the end of his visit there. It again reminds us of the determination and the fearlessness of the Apostle Paul. I don't know about you, but if I had gone to a town and they beat me up and stoned me and left me for dead, I would not be going back there anytime soon. The Apostle Paul, he goes back, assuming those same risks again. Why? Because he felt it was important to strengthen the believers. And this brings us to the person of Timothy. The person of Timothy. We're going to stop here for today. I think our time is up. Timothy will be joining the missionary team here. Timothy will kind of replace John Mark as that young helper, that young assistant. It's always important to have someone like that. Paul and Barnabas were older and had some health issues. It was valuable to have John Mark with them during that first missionary journey. But John Mark left. Now on this second missionary journey, Paul and Silas are the main team, but it's always valuable to have a young person, someone else to provide that assistance. Timothy, as we'll see as we continue our story of Timothy, was a very young man. He was probably in his late teens, maybe 20 at the most. He will join up the missionary team and become a great helper to the Apostle Paul. He will flourish under Paul's mentorship. He will become an important leader in the church under Paul's direction and leadership. Just as John Mark was flourishing under Barnabas, so Timothy will flourish under the Apostle Paul. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, you have blessed us all with those individuals who would come along and who would be mentors to us. You've also blessed us by allowing us to be mentors to others. Help us to encourage, help us to lead, help us to flourish in the different mentoring relationships that you have given to us, and help us to take the gospel forward. We thank you. And we praise you for all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's jump back together